Hey folks, my name is Jason Spies and I travel across these great states talking to small business owners, CEOs, policymakers, musicians, and mentors about making money, giving back, and balancing life. I find out how they prioritize professional and personal time while still making money. Yes indeed, our guests are real heavyweights in understanding business and life. So get ready to relax, learn a little bit, and get a cup of coffee ready because my name is Jason Spies and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Welcome to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Coffee and Capitalism brings you exclusive interviews and distinct content from leaders who drive our economy, from CEOs to small business owners to mentors. Coffee and Capitalism is a leader in inspiration, innovation, and ideas. Coffee and Capitalism is about making money and giving back, learning the fine art of work, family, and prioritizing your time. On today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we talk with Kathy Nesset, owner of Nesset. Formerly Nesset Consulting, she talks about her name change and how she's expanded her services to adapt to the ever-changing energy industry. And then we continue the energy talk with Joe Dancy with the University of Oklahoma's Energy Center. And he recaps the Heart Energy Conference down in Midland, Texas. That's where the Permian Basin is, a big energy activity in the United States. He talks about what the themes are and what some of the vibe is happening at that conference. And then we continue the conversation with Joe Dancy, but we spin it into the steel prices, how the tariffs and the recent steel prices are impacting the rest of the economy. And some people might have to take their pencils to the paper to figure out their pro formas when it comes to the price of steel over the next year. And then multimedia kidjapreneur Otis talks with Luke Russell with Nico Steamwork about the 3D printing business. All that plus much more on today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio. My name is Jason Spies and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch Coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch Coaching.
I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings, and I saw him come into his own where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished, and it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Kathy Nesset, owner of Nesset.
Kathy Nesset.
And normally we'd say Nesset Consulting, but as of yesterday slash today, new news out, Nesset is just the new name. So let's start off the interview, Kathy Nesset, talking about the rebranding and the rationale for the new name.
Twofold. There's two reasons why we did this. Number one, Nesset. It's clean, it's clear, it's concise, it's techie. So is nice. Nesset. You know, what we're doing is we're bringing out new services. We're bringing out, you know, the geology that I do. I'm a geologist, and that is still at the core of our business. But what we're doing is we're adding more services, mostly through the engineering scope. We're also, you know, bringing on, you know, on-site gas, instrumentation. We're doing the inspection out on the production sites to help with the fugitive gas emissions. Lease operators, you know, consultants into the production and the completion side of things. You know, the geology is still our core business, and we're upping that game. You know, we're bringing in a spectrometer that is going to help us determine the mineralogy, you know, more from a scientific standpoint as opposed to just a geologist looking in the microscope. Still my tried and true method, but let's add, you know, a little more science to the mm-hmm. process.
Science can get pretty complex and also very specific. Of course, we'd like to offer the world to everybody. How
I guess, one-stop shop are you going to become, and how much are you still going to kind of outsource to some specific, whether it be geology? I'm thinking in the media, of course. You know, when I get into graphic design, I got to outsource it. I got to know my limits, that type of thing. So talk to me a little bit about that. You know, how much are you going to have under one shop, and then how much are you going to continue to outsource?
That's perfect. That's all part of our rebranding as well. In this process, we're bringing partners along with us. We have Flowcore with us. We have EH Security. We have Skyscopes, which is a drone company out of Grand Forks, to bring the on-site gas inspection to the drone capability with an infrared camera mounted on the drones. Security forces are needed. Am I a specialist in that? No, I'm not. But there are other people, other gals and guys who are. So they're partnering, and this is all part of the new NESET, is looking at still staying with our core competencies, which is the geology and the engineering.
And what do you see in terms of, you mentioned the UAS, so you're branching into some new areas. You know, you mentioned engineering is going to be kind of the bulk of it, but the gas gathering, some of the other things, you are getting into quite a few different areas. Is this kind of as North Dakota grows? Because as I'm seeing the UAS and all that other stuff, so I'm seeing this kind of a crawl, walk integration.
That's a good way to put it. You know, this is really what I've always been a believer. There is no standing still in this world. You know, if you want to stay relevant and you want to keep moving ahead, you have to keep reinventing. You have to, anticipate the needs of this industry, perhaps before the industry even realizes them themselves. And if you are not moving forward and willing to do that research and reach out and maybe take those risks, somebody else is, mm-hmm. and they're moving right past you. So I am a firm believer, and this is what my concept has been, since I started, as I was talking with Otis, back in 1979 when I came into Michigan and then the oil fields and made my way to North Dakota. You know, it's about staying and reinventing yourself. I use the Pan Am model. We've all remember, the great, dynasty of the Pan Am in aviation. Were they able to adapt to the changing world? Doesn't look like it. We don't have that anymore.
One of the things I remember back in 2012, and then I think it was 2014 and 16, 14, not 16, but 14 and 12, John Gibson, Harold Hamm, James Volker, these are all pretty big CEOs of the Bakken. And they pretty much said they're reinventing their business plan, that the hydraulic fracturing, the horizontal drilling, forced them, with the advent of technology, to literally rewrite their business plan. Trickling down to you now, rewriting the business plan, let's talk about your other hat you wear, which is with the education, the higher ed. The majors are not the same. So a kid goes into college, he might not have that job available when they're done. That's how fast technology is changing. That's how fast education has to adapt. Talk to me about that challenge that you see right now with, whether it be oil and gas changing their business model or agriculture, it's happening across the board. Education's having to do that too, aren't they?
And so are the students, mm-hmm. because if you are a student and you go to college in a certain degree field, and is that still relevant when you get out of either a two-year program or a four-year, or maybe you're into a master's or doctorate, how do you stay relevant? And my answer to that, once again, just as our business models have to keep evolving, keep moving forward. And I think that the student must do that. Higher ed in North Dakota must do that. We are working well. We need to work better. We need to meet the demands of this industry and the workforce, and educate this workforce that the industry needs. Mm-hmm. And that industry is also agriculture. It is industry. It is technology. It's manufacturing. My thing today, we're talking oil and gas. So some of these jobs, maybe a certification. They are not necessarily a four-year bachelor's degree,
To listen to the full-length interview with Kathy Nesset, owner of Nesset, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. J. June 15th. Save the date. That's June 15th. The Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Joe Dancy with the Energy Center at the University of Oklahoma Law.
This is Joe Dancy with the University of Oklahoma College of Law Energy Center.
Outstanding. Thanks for joining us today. And you were, before we get into the price of steel and some of the things that are going to impact Shale Play USA, as I like to call it, let's talk about the conference you were just at. Which conference down in Texas were you just visiting? Or you spoke at? I'm sorry, you spoke at it.
I spoke at it, and I actually visited probably more than I spoke, but it was the HEART Energy Conference out in Midland, and it was really aimed at the midstream, the pipeliners. And boy, Jason, it's the pipeliners have a real interesting field to play on right now, because the producers out there are just going wild with their wells, the new production, and pipeliners are having a hard time catching up. But the HEART people had a two-day program at the Horseshoe Arena there in Midland, and I'd never been there. It's a Horseshoe Arena is a beautiful brand new facility, and the conference was very well done.
My understanding is the pipeline has created the word bottleneck in the media more and more. Was that discussed at all, the word bottleneck?
Yeah, actually, the entire day of conference speakers, it came up numerous times. What we have, and actually, this is a problem that's going to last for 18 to 24 months, is the producers have been so prolific bringing on all these extremely productive wells that the takeaway capacity actually is going to fall short here, starting about right now for the next 6 months to 2 years. And so they're actually talking, and here's a job for you, is they're actually talking about trucking, you know, because of the shortfall, they can't get it into a pipeline. They can either take it by train, and of course, the problem is, Jason, with the trains are full of sand, and so you have issues with regard to the train availability, but they're even talking about, you know, getting drivers to truck the oil from Midland down to the Gulf Coast, which, you know, that's not a short drive, and a truck doesn't haul all that much oil, and you're talking about a pretty good shortfall of oil, but that's an alternative that you can, it's actually because of the discrepancy between the price of oil in Midland now and the price of oil on the Gulf Coast, you can actually put it in a big tanker truck, haul it down, unload it, you know, pay the driver. Actually, there's an article in Bloomberg and in Rig Zone yesterday where a brand new truck drivers, you know, you got a 2-year junior college education, but you get a certificate to be able to drive a truck. The, you know, some of the truck drivers are making $140,000 a year right out of school, and which is interesting. I don't know how long that's going to last, but hey, if the economics work, you know, it may last, you know, at least from what I heard yesterday, at least 12 months and maybe 2 years. And the discrepancy in price, just to give you a feel, is between what you get for a barrel of oil delivered in Midland to your facilities to the Gulf Coast is somewhere between $20 and $30 a barrel. So you have $20 or $30. If you can ship it for less than $20, you'll make a profit. Now, how much, you know, Lord knows, but which is a big incentive for, obviously, the cheapest way is pipelines, and that's the way we're going. But you just can't, as you know, like even in the Bakken, you just can't go out and put in a pipeline. You got to get right away. You got to get approvals. You got to get permits. You got to get financing. You got to get, you know, people to commit and make sure they have enough, you know, enough volume to, you know, you don't put a pipeline in and amortize it in 2 months. It's a long-term capital expenditure. So there's a lot involved, and there's a lot of hustle. Boy, Midland is a very dynamic area, and the HARC conference was very dynamic. Just walking around, talking to people, you know, you could tell things are moving, which is pretty exciting.
A couple things I wrote down I want to unpack, if you will. Truckers to the Gulf, that's very interesting to me for a couple reasons. One is I talked to Dr. Lauren Scott about a month ago, I guess, and he was talking about something similar to where in Louisiana and other areas too, they were actively and openly hiring female ex-felons just because they couldn't find anyone else to fill the role of truck drivers. So that kind of little niche sub-demographic kind of came out in Louisiana as a story. I thought that was rather interesting, the female ex-felons they were recruiting for truck driving. But when you talk about putting them in the ground or putting it in the truck and then trucking it down to the Port of Corpus Christi, if you will, the old thought, at least in my mind, used to be if it wasn't economical or logistical, you just keep it in the ground and that's the best storage for it. But it sounds to me like they're making enough money or there's enough energy activity going to where, you know what, trucking it to Corpus Christi is the best method at this time. Talk to me a little bit about that. Keep it in the ground, how that's just doesn't seem to be the case anymore.
You know, I like that concept, and actually, I will tell you, driving on I-20 coming back to Dallas, there were a number. I looked off on the distance, and if I had some time, I was going to go explore. But they're building just massive storage tanks, in addition to everything else that's out there. And you can see the cranes, and you can see. I mean, these were not small ones either; these were huge. Storage facilities. But I think what's happened, Jason, is, you know, obviously the producers, you know, probably have outrun, you know, the pipeline capacity. And of course, the pipeliners, you know, are usually they're a different company than the producers. And the producers have just, you know, with the capital, with the technology, you know, with the laterals, with the massive amount of sands, with the water, the initial production tests are getting better and better, and the production curves are looking better and better. So I think what has happened, I mean, I know what's happened from just listening to the people, is like, again, the producers just floored it, and, you know, the car's going a lot faster than they thought. And so, and the problem, as you know, when you get sort of to the incremental barrel where, you know, you don't have room to stick it in the pipeline because you don't have firm capacity for it, the value goes, you know, substantially down, and it's going to impact not only the Permian prices there. I mean, there is a spread right now between West Texas and Brent of about $10. There's a spread between, you know, Midland prices and West Texas of you know, maybe $20. The incremental additional barrel is really depreciated, or the value is much lower until the pipelines catch up. And I guess that's the second issue, is how fast will the pipelines catch up? And I guarantee you, you know, you can probably imagine, I didn't really do the calculation, but trucking is a short-term solution, and there, you can't move a whole lot of oil with trucks. And I don't, just because you don't have the trucks, you don't have the drivers, you're gonna have to maybe by train, but again, talking to the people there and hearing the speakers, a lot of them said, you know, these trains are pretty much, with the sand, are pretty much tied up, and to get the trains transportation in place, it's going to take some time, and it's going to take some money too. A lot of times, I mean, these railroad companies, they're making a lot of money with the sand, and, you know, why would they screw around starting to transport oil unless you wrote some big checks? And the other thing, looking from a railroad standpoint, is like, hey, if this only lasts 2 years, why should we spend a whole bunch of capital, you know, building some storage terminals and loading terminals and everything else and buying new cars, tank cars, when it's all going to be solved by pipelines in 2 years anyway, which is what the projection appears to be for most people. They say, hey, this is a problem, and it's going to get bigger. They said the discrepancy between what you're getting in West Texas or in Midland or with West Texas versus the Brent crude is that number is going to get bigger. And I've heard that at the conference. I've seen that. I think Raymond James had a report out, or a couple reports in the last couple of weeks, which means this is money from heaven for refiners.
Mr. Joe Dancy, hold that thought for a moment. We're going to take a quick pause, but when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation with Joe Dancy right here on Coffee and Capitalism Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host, and you're listening to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Smoking, I'm joking with the people that I know. I'm thinking I'm drinking, I'm spinning, I'm grinning. Oh, my car stops when I go.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm joking.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
I think it's a really exciting time for our young leaders today because leaders like Eric Hatch are changing the face of what it means to lead an organization or what it means to lead a brand. He's changing that. For many years, I think that the gold standard of leadership has been somebody who is very polished and has it all together, or seemingly has it all together. And throughout the years, I think that we've now, especially with technology and social media, we are drawn to what's real.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we continue the conversation with Joe Dancy with the Energy Center at the University of Oklahoma Law. And the way you were talking a little bit about it, people are building these pipes and this and that, that might come back and bite them a little bit. I can see why some investors are a little bit leery now with that.
Exactly. And I know, you know, there has been takeaway capacity issues. I know in the Bakken, I think up in the Bakken from, you know, of course, this was not necessarily Texas-focused, but I didn't hear hardly any discussion yesterday and even over dinner about, gee, you know, this problem is, we see it like in the Eagle Ford. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear it from the Bakken. I didn't hear it from, I hear a little bit about, gee, you know, we still have issues up in the Marcellus and Utica areas in Ohio and Pennsylvania. Of course, there's such massive reserves up there, but I didn't hear anything about North Dakota shortfalls or I mean the problem in North Dakota that you're going to have, just like the problem with in the Permian and elsewhere, is when there's a spread between West Texas and Brent, you're getting a discounted value, and I guess your concept of leave it in the ground, I mean, I like that. I mean, the problem is, you know, I would think venture capital and producers, I mean, they all want cash flow. And if they invest and, you know, you're leaving it in the ground, your cash flow is being pushed out to the future. And Lord knows, you know, what the value. And part of the problem, too, Jason, with leaving it in the ground is there's so many people these days, wrongfully so, I think, have the impression that there's so much oil in the shale plays that all they have to do, you know, we turn the key and it comes flooding out. And so if you leave it in the ground, you know, it might not be worth a lot more in the future. In fact, it might be worth less because, you know, OPEC's going to flood the market and Saudi Arabia is going to flood the market. And, you know, Permian, we can produce as much as we want. I don't think any of that's true. I think Saudi Arabia is pumping pretty much flat out. I think Russia has a little bit of spare capacity, but not a whole lot, and they don't have an incentive really to flood the market or lower oil prices. And I do think, you know, just with capacity and personnel and cost, you know, the U.S. will continue to grow production, but nowhere near what we've seen the last couple of years, just because the efficiencies are declining. As far as, you know, we've sort of learned the technology of how much sand to use, how much water to use, how long to drill. There's an argument too with regard to tier one and tier two acreage. I mean, I'm hearing more and more people in industry, I mean, not analysts, but people in industry who have been around that know, that say, hey, you know, we've drilled some of our best acreage in the Bakken and in the Permian and elsewhere, or maybe not the Permian, but maybe the Eagle Ford. The Bakken and Eagle Ford, I guess, are the two that I've heard most often mentioned. I don't understand, you know, tier one and tier two acreage, but I've been told, or at least the argument goes from these experts that are running these firms, that you know, tier two acreage, regardless of the technology you use, are not going to be as good as the premium acreage. It's and so your increase in production, you just got to drill more to keep, to get an increase in production versus what we've had to do historically. So prices, oil prices should be higher. And all this being said, we're, you know, the economy is blowing along globally and increasing demand to 1.5 million barrels per day on 100 million barrel per day level. So we're increasing like every year, 1 to 2% increase in demand. And so then we have, you know, the decline rate where, you know, you drill a well and it declines substantially in the first year. So, you know, we're on a treadmill, and it's interesting to see how all these things fit together. And little did I know, or little would I have guessed, that we would have been short pipeline capacity to get stuff out of the Permian Basin down to the Gulf Coast. And actually there's some systems going on. They're going to take some of the Permian crude's going to go over to Cushing, and in Cushing apparently there's the distribution from there is much more built out historically. So anyway, it's going to be exciting times.
Wanted to mention on the rail talk a little bit too, one of the things up in the Bakken they had a few years ago, of course, that's quite a distance to get it to the market from the Bakken. And so it's not as feasible to put it into a tanker truck and just drive it. Whereas, you know, they need to rely on the rail a lot more. And there was an issue with agriculture. Obviously, ag is a big user of the rail, just like a lot of, you know, import and exporting products coming and going from the Asian markets. The BNSF did a major investment, billions of dollars, to upgrade their cars, to upgrade their rail system, their switch terminals, etc. And was that talked about down there? I mean, you guys have some wheat being harvested down there, don't you? You guys have a harvest season right now down in Texas. So was ag brought into this? You mentioned the sand, of the frack sand, as one of the users of the rail cars. But I know ag is coming into the harvest season, and then it just kind of stays through for a while.
Yeah, actually, ag was mentioned in the presentation, but it is really the incremental, apparently, gains of the last 5 years have been really sand and getting the stuff from Wisconsin down here. And there also has been some interesting articles recently dealing with Bakken crude. Apparently, the East Coast refiners have started shipping by train again. It was really popular several years ago, and then apparently it fell off to almost nothing 6 months to a year ago. And you know, I think it was a Bloomberg article that was out that said, you know, things are ramping up where some of these producers, and especially apparently, and I'm not sure what route they take, Jason, but apparently the Bakken crude is easier or closer to ship. If you're in Texas, you ship to the Gulf Coast. If you're in North Dakota, apparently, or Canadian crude too, apparently, you can ship some of that stuff by oil to the some of the eastern refiners, and you know that will be their cheapest feedstock. And so they're starting to ramp up the train shipments again, which again, from an environmental standpoint, you actually was on a panel that we talked about some of the legal implications and the fact that, you know, a lot of environmentalists are targeting the midstream and pipelines to try to shut down the industry. But, you know, really what they're doing is you slow down the building of pipelines, you're increasing the number of trains that haul oil and other substances that, from an environmental standpoint, it's much more dangerous to haul that stuff on a railroad track than put it underground in a pipeline. And it was interesting to hear them talk, but they didn't talk too much about ag, but I know that is the other big profit center for the railroads. And again, just going back, you know, from a railroad standpoint, if I was a railroad executive, it's like, well, why would I want to mess with shipping oil and setting up new terminals if I don't already have a terminal in the Permian, because this is only going to be a two-year deal, so two-year problem. It's going to be a big two-year problem, but it'll only be a two-year problem.
To listen to the full-length interview with Joe Danzy with the University of Oklahoma Law, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. When you believe in two, and there's only you cuddling with a blanket, there's a certain thing that I hear ringing that you got your mind blown. Show you something that's never been shown. You're mind blown, you're mind blown, and that's all you need to know. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band. You feel a little dizzy. You're talking kind of silly, like you have plans to save the world. Just remember your task will only last if you don't take off your mask. The inside is warm. You've been wishing you'd never been born. All I can say is that you try to behave and try not to get your mind blown. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching, or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota, is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Now we're going to hand the baton off to multimedia kidpreneur Otis, and he talks with Luke Russell, the owner of Nico Steamworks, about 3D printing.
Hello, my name is Otis with Kids in Capitalism, and today we're here with
Luke Russell,
and we're going to talk about his business. So, first question, what's your first job?
Hold on, I'm going to stop for a second.
Is it recording?
Oh, it's way too hot. So,
okay. Too hot? What do you mean?
Speak. Okay, watch this. Just say a word.
A word.
So, like, right now, we're close to the max.
It's picking it up too much.
Oh.
So, like, you're like this here. So according to this, you're like, hey, everybody, he's screaming right in there. So that's what I'm saying. You just have to do it like this. And then, like, when you even do the interview, just that's enough.
All right.
That's enough. Just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
All right.
And then you forgot to say dactyl.
Oh, yeah, my bad. All right. This might take a couple tries.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Three, two.
Hello, my name is Otis with Kids in Capitalism at Dacnell Games, and today we're here with
Luke Russell,
and we're going to ask him some questions about his business. So first question, this isn't really about your business, but what was your first job?
Like, what was my first job?
Yeah.
I would say working at Kmart.
Working at Kmart?
Was my very first job, yeah.
All right.
That was when I was 16.
16? All right. So, what advice do you have for young entrepreneurs?
I would say find something that you're passionate about first, and then see what you can do with it, because if it's something you don't like and it's something that you can't pursue, then you're not going to go very far. So.
All right. What's your favorite video game?
My favorite video game? Xenogears.
Xenogears?
Xenogears.
Right.
It's an older one, but
it's... what type of customers do you have?
Every walk of life, basically. No, seriously, like, I've got doctors from Seattle, Washington that have ordered stuff for Warcraft conventions, like, for Blizzard. I've got pretty much every walk of life. It doesn't matter. I mean,
all right, that's actually funny. What's your favorite cosplay costume that you've made?
Favorite cosplay costume that I've made, huh? I think Samus.
Oh, Samus is cool. I like Samus.
Samus, and I just made a Death Trooper costume.
Death Trooper?
Yep, from the newer Star Wars Rogue One.
Oh, that's neat.
And it was custom fit because the girl I made it for is only 5'3", so she's really short. So we had to do a lot of customization, but it came out really nice.
All right. So can you tell us a little bit about 3D printing?
Sure. So basically, depending on what your price point is when you're starting, this is an entry-level kit. This is kind of like my take-around kit.
Yeah.
This is like the bottom dollar. So in order to use this, you kind of have to know a little bit more about 3D printing or want to learn, because you build this from the ground up.
Yeah.
And there are ones that are a little more expensive, you get tech support with. Not so much work, but I like these ones because of the technical aspect. It's nice because basically, like, when I got it here, there's the one point at the back there that's kind of
burnt, yeah,
kind of messed up, and it's because I had to re-level the bed because it moved from my house to here.
Oh.
And so, like, the bed got out of level, so you always have to kind of tinker with it and get it where you want it.
So movement, like, recalibrates the plate?
Well, yeah, because, like, you see it's on springs here.
Yeah.
So it's not actually in place. I could sit there and just squeeze it, and, like, that end will just get all funky because I completely tilt the bed. So, like, when we're moving, like, the way the springs are, when we're moving in the truck and I hit big potholes, sometimes it can, like, make the screws latch in at a different angle. Excuse me. And so basically it'll cause, like, miscalibrations that I just have to kind of fix.
All right. Well, that's pretty neat. I think that concludes our interview here with
Luke Russell
at Dacnell Games. Thank you, sir.
check out other Kids in Capitalism features with multimedia kidpreneur Otis, visit kidsincapitalism.com. That's kidsincapitalism.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio and the Crude Life Media Network are proud supporters of Kids in Capitalism, mentoring and cultivating for tomorrow's entrepreneurs. Once again, for more information, visit kidsincapitalism.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Oh, where do you feel the bridge? And I'll hammer on the harmony. After a hard week's work, we'll need a mighty fine melody.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
Because we're back to the way. Oh, 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 back to the way. So back to the way.
My name is Otis with another episode of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast, here with Miss North Dakota, right?
Miss America.
Miss America. Mm-hmm. And we're going to ask you some questions. Is that okay?
Sounds great. Sounds good.
All right. What was your first job and how old were you when you got it?
Ooh, my very first job. I was a dance teacher and I was 13.
Okay. What advice do you have for young entrepreneurs like me?
Oh, go for it. Don't be afraid of failure. Never be afraid of innovation, because we're definitely going to be the generation that instills that. And, you know, we have so many issues facing our society that there's no textbook answer for. And so we're definitely out-of-box thinkers. So instilling that in innovation and also working well in teams.
All right. Well, thank you for that. And I think that concludes our interview. Thank you for taking time out of your day to do this interview. I greatly appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes.
Can I get a picture?
That was exactly 1 minute. That was 1 minute and 1 second.
Jack, be nimble. Jack, be quick. Jack, who not jump over the candlestick? Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. You can make a million too.
And that concludes this week's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. For a full list of today's guest and interview, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. We'll be back next week on this radio station at this time. For a full list of our radio affiliates and other media partners, please visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and from the staff here at Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we're asking you to be happy, make money, and give back. Thanks for joining us this week, folks.
Sign on our front porch saying, hot stuff for sale, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? Nothing. You need a raise.